This is Bruce Marable from Employee Cycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. It means so much to me, our team, and also our audience, as everyone is trying to figure out how can they reduce employee stress and anxiety during coronavirus. So we really appreciate you taking this time during this crisis. And what I'm going to do is ask you some rapid fire questions in the beginning so people can get to know who you are and a little bit about your company. And then we'll go into a deeper interview.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right. So let's start. Could you tell the audience your name, your company, and your title?
Sure. So I'm Heather Hepler, Vice President of Human Resources for Armor Cloud Security. We are a cloud-based cybersecurity company located in Richardson, Texas, with offices in the UK as well. And we provide an end-to-end security platform solution. We can protect your data, whether it be in the cloud, on-prem, public, private, hybrid. In addition, also provide hosting services.
And where is your company based?
So our headquarters are in Richardson, Texas, just right outside of Dallas.
What's your current headcount?
We are just shy of 200.
And did you have any existing remote employees pre-COVID?
We did. It tended to be on the sales and customer experience side.
Got it. And I also wanted to note that this is your first podcast. So we're so happy to be the first podcast where we could take all your wisdom and share it with the world. So that's super fun.
I'll do my best.
Great. You're doing fine. So in regards to your initial employer response plan, when things first started to happen and we were all getting the news, what did that look like for you? What was your mental state? How did you kick into gear into action in regards to doing whatever you thought was necessary to prepare your workforce for what was coming?
Sure. I think the first time it came up was actually in a town hall when our CEO was mentioned, you know, the coronavirus. And I think at that point in time, that was early in the beginning of the year, where nobody really thought it could touch us or it could get to us. Then obviously a couple months go by. Personally, you know, we had spring break going on in Dallas and people were out of town, but it was obviously becoming more of a heightened concern at that point in time. And so, you know, even prior to that, we would talk amongst ourselves with the senior leadership, talk about on a weekly basis, how is this impacting us, or, you know, are we going to have to make any changes? And we were really just monitoring it, just really closely monitoring it. Personally, you know, when I returned from spring break, people had already started to leave the office. We're lucky in the fact that we have laptops. And so everybody had the ability to technically work from home. So having that technology up front was really helpful. And what we saw happening within the office was just a slow exit based on people's comfort level, going in and out of the office, things along those nature.
Got it. That's interesting. And so when you first allowed everybody to work from home, what did that process look like? And just out of curiosity, what were some of the questions that your employees had dealing with this new normal when it first started?
Again, I see us as being lucky because the managers really were flexible with the employees and understood the different comfort levels as the pandemic continued to progress. And so when we officially made the decision to close the office, we were following Dallas County guidelines. The governor had allowed more jurisdictional direction, and the Armor office sits within the Dallas County. So at that point in time, we made the decision to officially close the office right around the end of March. I think I was looking at my notes. It was around like March 24th. From that point in time, you know, people were, if they needed to grab a chair, if they needed to grab a laptop, we allowed them, you know, that sort of flexibility just to set up their home office, but gave people around 24 hours notice in order to get that done.
There's been a lot of conversation regarding leaders leading with empathy and a lot of people being told to over-communicate. And with you being a company on the smaller end, which I believe you said around 200 employees, one of the things I've been thinking about is what is the breaking point where you have to decide whether or not you could do one-on-one conversations and one-on-one communication that's personalized and customized to everybody's individual need versus having too many employees where you need to really have a mass communication company-wide message and then let the individual managers or even maybe supervisors or team leaders, however your org chart is set up, allow them to talk to the people who they manage. How did your company deal with that?
So we've taken what I'd say is a blended approach. We have town halls monthly. And so the town hall is the mechanism to communicate on a greater scale. The first town hall that we had when we were all officially work from home actually had close to 100% participation. So it was huge. It was fantastic to seeing everybody's faces and being able to get the message out to everyone. So that was phenomenal. So we've taken the approach where we communicate at that level. We also have what we call an extended leadership team. So the top layer of the organization meets regularly, and it's been with increased frequency just due to the current environment to help get out the operational message. You know, how are sales? How are we operating on a day in and day out basis? Is the communication enough? Do we need to have more? Do we need to have less? So we have that top-down approach. Actually, in that last leadership meeting, I led a session just similar to what you're talking about in terms of best practices for our leaders. Should they, we need them to be empathetic. We need them to think about their employees and are their basic needs being met. There's so much information out there right now, articles, webinars that you can really get into sort of that data overload. So being able to break it down into palatable chunks so that our leaders can take it back to our employees and have those one-on-one conversations and making sure that, you know, as you mentioned before, get into a cycle of we're initially responding and everybody's in this, how do we do this? To now we've been at it for, you know, almost a month. And how do we maintain the connectivity, the engagement, the new normal that we're starting to face? So I would say we've definitely taken a blended approach. And again, we're lucky because we are, you know, a size of 200 where we can reach out to individuals. And me personally, I've been doing spot checks just to make sure that I can get an understanding of where people are at, not just talking to leaders.
And I know that's your top-down approach, but getting communication bottoms up to understanding what's going on the individual employee level, are you doing any surveys or doing anything to ask the employees, how are they feeling, mental check-ins, what do they need? And is that formalized in some type of survey? Or is that more on maybe a team manager or department head level?
Right now, we haven't done any formal survey of the employees. Because of the size that we're at, we've been getting feedback from managers, but it's definitely something to take into consideration. We also, for more direct approach, we use Teams, Microsoft Teams. And so we've created a couple of different channels within the Teams environment to make sure that if it's not getting that top-down approach, then people have resources to go out to and get the information that they need, whether it be we have more of an engagement, like fun channel that's just to keep up the spirits. And then we've got a channel that we call Need to Know that people subscribe to and get the updates based on office closures, benefit type announcements, anything that's we feel is essential for them to know about.
What are some of the things that your team is doing on the fun channel? A lot of people have been talking about this, whether I know I've heard people say anything from virtual happy hours, which most people are doing, to some of the most creative things I've seen, like virtual pet parades, where everyone has their cat or dog dressed up and parading them around, where everybody gets a turn, almost like a dog show. So are there any interesting, fun things that you've seen your team do that you think other people could try to implement at their company?
Sure. So I can definitely see us doing a pet parade because we are really big animal lovers at Armor. But we call the channel Quarantine. And every day, so every Monday we do like a motivational Monday. So there's some sort of a workout or some sort of physical activity that people can do. We on Thursday, you know, there's your traditional throwback Thursday. So we've had prom pics, we've had graduation pictures. We're offering yoga this afternoon. We're looking at doing movie trivia. So we're going to do a happy hour and include a movie trivia activity along with that. What else? The philanthropy. So philanthropy is also, that's the one thing that we've done a survey of recently. There's a lot of really passionate people at the organization and, you know, how do we give back during times like this? So we've surveyed the organization to gauge comfort level and participation in terms of something along those lines. But, people are really enjoying the quarantine. You know, you post memes and, you know, what's the funniest meme you've seen? We've got discussions where, you know, we had a lunch with, let's talk about Tiger King, right? Everybody's talking about Tiger King. So we had to have a big discussion on that series. But the team has been fantastic. This owning that channel. They have really done a wonderful job of keeping it alive. And I've got a lot of great feedback on it. So it's been fun.
Are there any things that have really surprised you during this whole process?
From a surprise standpoint, I guess what I'm hearing from leaders, right, because before we went into that, there was always that apprehension of working from home and would productivity levels fall? Would, you know, could we trust the people? That sort of thing. So you'd hear that sort of school of thought and that's definitely evolved. And so, you know, through crisis and through situations like this, there's always a silver lining, you know, and we want to look at the silver lining and, you know, what you take out of some of these lessons learned, like, you know what, we do need to realize that the work from home does offer a lot of benefits and flexibility. And let's take a closer look at that. So that's been one thing that I think has been really encouraging through all of it is just seeing people come together as a community and actually get closer, I think, just as people and humans, because we're all going through this crazy time together and it's opened up and we see a lot of people's personalities through this.
And last question. Now that you've been through this and assuming that this is the worst crisis that you've managed in an HR role, are there any skills and things that you think other HR leaders should be thinking about during this and basically in any crisis moving forward that you've learned from this experience? What should HR leaders be thinking about and bringing to the table as they're looking to help their companies make it through this?
That's a great question. You know, anything is be sure to act quickly and don't be afraid to raise your voice or concern. I think a lot of how employers react to these crises really will set the tone for the future. So while, you know, the business leaders are worried about keeping the doors open, we have to think about how we as employers are treating our employees. Because it will impact, you know, brand and everything later and even employees' commitment and overall engagement in the future. So you have to be vocal about how your employees are being treated and how we are acting as a larger company to make sure that once we weather the storm and get through all of this, the employees can look back and say, you know what, Armor really took care of me. They did what they needed, and I'm happy to be a part of that organization moving forward.
Heather, that was a great way to take it home. And just to let you know, you crushed your first podcast ever.
All right.
So happy to have you on the interview. Thanks so much for taking the time to deal with this. As I've been thinking, all of our podcast guests during this time, obviously, everyone has so much to deal with personally and professionally. So for you to take out time out of your ridiculously busy schedule to help the broader community of HR leaders and business leaders in general help navigate this process of reducing employee stress and anxiety, we can't thank you enough. So again, thanks a lot. and really appreciate the time.
Thank you. Happy to do it.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.